Hi, Lyndon. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Can you tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
My name is Lyndon Cudlitz. I am a trainer and consultant primarily on LGBTQ issues with a focus in helping businesses, organizations, schools, New York State provide better services and atmospheres for transgender folks.
Back in December, the House of Representatives voted on a rules package that would govern the way that they do business on the House floor for the coming year. Part of that rules package was to adopt gender-neutral language for their own rules. And this has been blown up by right-wing media to kind of signal to their supporters that we're moving towards a society where a grandmother can no longer call herself a grandmother. Have you seen those rules, and what's your take on this situation?
Over a number of decades, we've been moving in this direction anyways, in a way that has nothing to do with transgender people, for example, right? I was a firefighter for 10 years, and the term is firefighter, and we moved away from fireman. We don't even need to use firewoman. We have a gender-neutral term. And that's just something that I think really is beneficial to everybody. And, as you stated, these rules are not affecting people in their own homes and in their own needs, but rather it's the language that's being used in the kind of official words of government proceedings. And that makes sense.
Can you give some examples of what kinds of words these rules would change?
It changes things like, I think a great example that we often hear is, the word chairman, right? And we also know that there are plenty of chairwomen, but really we can just say chair, and then we don't have to make that switch back and forth, and we don't need to pay attention to the gendering of it. And that way, when we always use the word chair in government proceedings, it pertains to everybody and it just works across the board for every individual.
Some of the articles that I read about these rules make it clear that there are as yet no people who identify as non-binary in the House. So why do you think that the House adopted these rules?
I think the first thing that's important to note is that we don't have any people in the House right now that are publicly stating that they identify as non-binary. And so whenever there's kind of a first in government of some kind of person, I always like to say that it's that nobody has said it yet. It may very well be the case that nobody who is non-binary is in the House currently, but it does create an environment where somebody could step into the House with already having that language in existence. And again, I think this stuff is not just pertaining to non-binary people, but it really affects everybody.
There's something to be said for making a place welcoming for all people, though, right? I mean, even if you don't have any friends of color, right? You want to make sure that your language is non-racist. And even more than that, you want to make sure that your language doesn't promote white supremacy, for example. So it isn't really about who's in the house at all.
Yeah, you're spot on. I know that for me, when I'm, thinking about a workplace that I want to be in, or quite honestly, even a family function, if the language that's being used among those people is accurately representing who I am and what I use in my life, then I can see myself there better, right? I can actually picture myself being a part of that and feel like I'm not just tolerated, but that I really have a voice and a seat at the table. And again, I mean that both professionally and personally in my own life. Language really does have a big impact. This is not about being PC. This is not about having more sensitive language. This is about not only being affirming of people's genders and identities, but it's also about being more accurate. If we can use language that broadens the scope of who we're talking about, so for example, just saying siblings instead of saying brother and sister, until we know that somebody might use the term brother or sister, then we actually include all siblings, including those who may not consider themselves brothers or sisters.
Kevin McCarthy, who's the Republican leader in the House, basically just said that what you said is stupid. He tweeted this out. He said, "This is stupid," signed a father, son, and brother. And I think what he's calling attention to is his right to call himself a father, son, and a brother. And you talk about accuracy, and I think it's important to correct the record here. Nobody is preventing him from calling himself a father, son, and a brother. And in fact, the rules make that really explicit. That's important, right?
Absolutely. You know, if you were talking about your doctor and I didn't know who you were talking about, I would probably say something like, oh, what did your doctor recommend? I would probably not say things like, oh, what did she recommend or what did he recommend? Although if I was only basing things on stereotypes, I might say, what did he recommend? But then as soon as you tell me who your doctor is, or you use a pronoun or language to talk about your doctor, then I know what to use. And so this is about keeping things neutral until we know what somebody uses for themselves. So that representative that spoke, not only does this not pertain to him in his own home, but it also means, great, now that I know that you have a son and that's the language you use, then when we're talking, I'm going to talk about your son instead of your child. But I'm not going to say son until I know that the individuals in your life that you're caring for, your children, use that language.
And just to be very clear, it's not just what Kevin McCarthy and others do in their own home. It's also what they do on the floor. Nothing in the rules prevents members from referring to themselves in a gendered way. It just doesn't do that. It's just about the rules.
Precisely. I think one of the things that I've been seeing as there are more laws and policies, guidelines that are put into place that create more neutral language so that it can include more people and so that, in fact, we make less assumptions. There's been that kind of resistance to it, right? And this idea that it's only a liberal thing or it is only associated with transgender and non-binary people. But I think that's such a misconception. So as an example, there was this post on Twitter from a teacher whose colleague was a second grade teacher and was talking about pronouns. And a parent overheard this Zoom lesson about the teacher talking about pronouns and tried to get the teacher fired and then pulled her child out of the school. The reason that the teacher was talking about pronouns is that it was a grammar lesson. It's interesting to kind of see as we make more progress in creating spaces for all genders, there is this idea that talking about things like gender-neutral language, talking about things like pronouns is automatically associated with that progress, when really, again, this benefits everybody and is just plain grammar education sometimes.
It's kind of signifies a kind of panic that we see in other areas of our civic dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people get really scared when government says you can or can't do something in your own home and in your own life. And I think that makes a lot of sense, right? We want autonomy over our bodies. We want autonomy over our beliefs, our values, our family, who we love. And I think that most humans have that desire. And what I like about, you know, moves like what the House is doing is that it doesn't at all impede on the autonomy of individuals, right? It instead expands the autonomy of individuals to be able to use language that works for them and to see themselves reflected in the place where they work or in the house that represents them.
Some people said that the House went too far. Others might say that the House didn't go far enough. Is this move enough to make trans folk feel welcome in places like the House of Representatives?
Just like using language such as chair instead of chairwoman doesn't magically mean that women have full equal rights in this country and that there's a lot of other things that need to be done. Using gender-neutral language and understanding the impact of pronouns and using the correct ones for individuals doesn't somehow make everything okay for transgender and non-binary folks. I think that when the focus of the needs of trans and non-binary people is on things like language and pronouns and just calling people the right thing, we also really miss the point that there are so many other needs, particularly the safety of trans and non-binary people, that are really crucial to people being able to, you know, live happy, healthy, thriving lives. So the crux of, you know, even transgender movements is not call me by the right pronoun. It's I want to have a safe, happy, healthy life that is valued.
It's been so great to talk to you about this. Thank you so much for giving me some of your time.
Thank you.